Pastor Leon and his wife Sheila founded Gospel Tabernacle Church in 1982 in the heart of Lawrence, South Carolina. Since then, the Lord has richly blessed and increased the ministry and family of Gospel Tabernacle Church. Here at Gospel Tabernacle, we believe in the power of the Word of God to change the hearts and lives of believers. Gospel Tabernacle is a family church ministering to the whole family through the charismatic teaching ministry. Today's message will grow your faith and draw you close to the Lord as you open your heart to God's Word and His Spirit.
Let's make our confession. I say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. And I'll never be the same. I'm about to receive the indestructible, incorruptible, ever-living seed, the Word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. In Jesus' name, somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Turn in your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. And before we do, I've got a little handout. I gave some out last week, but I'm looking for the host, and I think they're probably in the back or doing something else, but I need some folks to help me to sort of get. If you don't have one, I want to make sure that you get one today. Now, you may have one for last week, and it's exactly the same, but you can get another one if you don't have one here with you in the house today. And what this is, we've been looking all of this year at the Word of God and putting the Word of God into our lives in a new and a fresh way by reading the Word from cover to cover, our commitment, our plan, our challenge for this year to do. And then so, as we've been doing that, we've been talking a little bit about some things in the Word of God that apply to us just as they fall in the Scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. And this is what we're looking at. AJ talked about healing just 2 weeks ago. And so I began talking about our financial life, and I call it financial word scriptures that I have. And we've been looking at those just as they fall. And because, you know, I found this out, that when you counseling and work with married couples, one of the main problems they have is money problems. Money problems. And then right behind that is communication, not talking, and those kind of things. But it's top of the line there. And people struggle with finances and struggle with money in our earth, and the world seems like just makes it so difficult and so challenging for us. And every time the government messes with something, we gave away a lot of money over the last couple of years, 2 or 3 years, really. We gave away a lot of money, that COVID stuff, and just dishing it out everywhere. What happens when you print all that money? And we didn't have it to give, and the government printed it. What happens? Then you get a greater money supply, and when there's more money out there chasing fewer goods, the prices of the goods go up. And that caused all this inflation that we've seen. 8% inflation last year, first time for 40 years, something like that, since the 70s. And so all that inflation was caused. And come down just a little bit, still at 6%. I just checked yesterday. Still at 6% inflation that we're running, which is a lot of money. That means that if you get a $100 bill today, then it's only worth $94 next year. I mean, so it's 6% is an unseen tax that happens on all of us. You see it when you buy your eggs and your gas and all that other kind of stuff. And so what we have to learn is this, how to operate our lives in this world that is controlled by the minds of men, no matter which administration in charge, controlled by the minds of men. And we have to learn that in this world, how is it that we can conquer that thing? How is it that we can beat their system? You won't do it. You won't beat the system playing their games. Okay? You won't beat the system playing their games. But you will beat the system doing it God's way and handling your finances the way that God tells you to. And so that's what this is about. For my text, I've chosen Deuteronomy 8:18. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you power to get wealth. Notice God gives us power to get wealth. Everybody say, God gives me power to get wealth. And so there should not be any problem if God freely gives it to us, like he says in the book of Romans in chapter 8, when he says, if he gave us his own son on the cross to die for us, will he not freely give us all things? And so everything else is just easy, 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 easy to receive. Jesus said, learn of me, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. It's not a problem living this Christian life, and it's not a problem when you come to finances if you do it God's way. Now, if you try to keep one foot in the world and a little foot in God's kingdom and try to sort of seesaw between the two, you're going to have a very, very difficult problem. But if you'll do it God's way and apply to your life the things that God tells us to do in Scripture, we'll see our financial house blessed. Now, again, notice it said, power to get wealth that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to our father or to your father as it is this day. God made a promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 that he would bless him, he would multiply him, he would make his name and his family and his seed great in all the earth. And he did. It didn't take but one chapter to do that. Chapter 13, you see, where it tells Abraham was very rich in cattle and silver and gold and all these kind of things. I mean, God fulfilled his word to Abraham, but he said he'd do it for his seed. And so he's got to bless the children of Abraham as they go forward in generation after generation so that it confirms the covenant that he swore to Abraham that he would bless his seed. Now you say, what about you and I? We're not of nationality, blood-born Jewish people. But, you know, the Bible said in the book of Galatians chapter 3, it tells us that if we have received Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then are you Abraham's seed? And so every one of us that's been born again, if you've been born again, somebody say amen. Every one of you, me included, we are the seed of Abraham and thus heirs of the covenant. We're heirs of that same covenant. And so God is just trying real hard to bless us. I say this sometimes because we read in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, the Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, forgive our debtors. And he goes on and on and on, talking about the kingdom of God coming into your life. And we pray that prayer, give us this day our daily bread. God will bless us, and he will do good things in our life. He will provide for all our needs. And some of us, it may take us leaving this earth and going to heaven. But when we get there, not because of God's fault, but when we get there, how many knows we're going to be blessed in heaven? Somebody say amen. It's not like you can go to heaven and you're going to be in poverty. It's not like you're going to go to heaven and you're going to have a hard time making ends meet. No, when you go to heaven, God is going to multiply blessings. What does it tell us about the streets of gold in heaven? They're there. What does the Bible tell us? We'll live in a mansion in heaven. All these things God will bless us with in heaven. And thank God for that. Absolutely thank God for that. But you can get a lot of those blessings right here on planet Earth. Somebody say amen. I expect to get some. How about you? Say amen. Absolutely. Here's how. Again, the most important thing in your life is the salvation of your soul. If you don't have two nickels to rub together or ever have any hope of getting two nickels to rub together, the most important thing is that you be saved and accept the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You can have all of the money in the world. You can have everything this world ever has to offer, drive the finest cars, live in the nicest home, have the most money of anyone around. And if you lose your own soul, as it says in the book of Luke chapter 8, verse 36, if you lose your own soul, what have you gained? Nothing. You've lost your soul. And you spend time and eternity without God. The most important thing in your life is your soul salvation. But you know, not every one of us that have received Christ are going to be leaving this earth today, maybe this week or next month or maybe next year. So we got a while to live down here. And while we're going to live down here, I believe that God has blessed us and will take care of all our needs while we're here. Amen? I mean, how many wants to live down here comfortable and taken care of while you're here? I mean, if I've got to live in this rotten place we call planet Earth, you know, got to live here, we might as well be well provided for. Amen? Absolutely. And we're going to put God first. We're going to put God first in everything that we do. But at the same time, God's blessings are going to come into the house of the righteous. All right, let's look at what we did. If you got that, I'm going to give you surveys very quickly. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 12, he said this in verse 12, speaking of the nation of Israel, you will lend unto many nations and you shall not borrow. That's the end of verse 12. If you don't have it underlined, I got it underlined on my iPad. I got one of these iPads you can underline stuff on. And so maybe you can underline that. Lend unto many people or lend unto many nations and you shall not borrow. The blessed life is not the borrower. The blessed life is the lender. The blessed life is not the borrower. And so when I look at this and I see how God said he was going to bless them and give them his good treasure from heaven, all these things, he says one of the attributes of that blessing is you'll lend and you won't borrow. Again, it's not a sin to borrow money. Jesus taught us in the book of Matthew that the very least thing you could do with money was put it into the banks where you could collect usury on it or interest on it. That's the least thing you can do. I mean, he upbraided a man for not doing that. And he should have done that at the very least. And sometimes that is the very least that you can do. And that you should have done that. Should have done that. And so Jesus wouldn't have recommended what he should have done if it was sinful to do it. And so it's not a sin to borrow money. But you know what? It's not God's best for your life. It is not God's best that we borrow money. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 13 that we should owe no man anything but to love him. Anything. That's God's best and for in our lives. And so in our lives, we have to be very careful about our finances and this act of borrowing and lending. But the blessed life is in there when we are the one that does not borrow. Now notice the end of verse 13. He said, all of these things that I've spoken to you, if you hearken unto the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day to observe and to do them. You have to be an observer of them, and you have to be a doer of them. In the area of finances, listen real carefully, it is not, I bow my knee, O Lord God, supply my need. That's not the end of the story. It is, I bow my knee, O Lord God, supply my need. I believe that you supply all of my needs according to your riches and glory. I believe also, Lord God, you said if I give, it'll come back to me, good measure pressed together, so I'm going to do some giving. I know, Lord God, that you said that if a person does not work, he does not eat. So I'm going to go out and work, and I'm going to provide some income, and I'm going to have some increase, and you're going to bless where I work and bless my income. All these things are connected to it. It is just not the prayer only. It is the prayer, but not the prayer only. There's always got to be action to it. Let me give you an example. In Luke chapter 5, Peter and the boys are out fishing. They have fished all night, not caught anything. And the Lord did this twice for them, but this is the first time. They haven't caught anything, not anything. Jesus says to Peter, cast the net over on this side of the boat, and you'll reap a draught, King James Version says, which is a lot of fish. You'll get a draught catch there, a lot of fish, when you put the boat over there. Peter said, look now, we are fishermen. We know what we are doing. We make our living fishing. And we have fished all the night long and have caught nothing. But then he says something very smart. Nevertheless, at your word, we will do it. Now, notice this. We have to do that. You and I have got stuff in our mind about how to finances. And what you have to do is this. I've been thinking about these finances the way the world thinks about them. I've been taught the way the world teaches me about them. All these kind of things in life that have come to me, and this is what I believe about money and how it works. What you have to say is, nevertheless, at your word, God, I'm going to do what you said do. And you have to set aside what the world has told you. Because the world has told you. And in fact, you can trace it down. I'm not going to get into all of this. But you can trace it down back when the Federal Reserve was started and those kind of things. And banks determined a way. How can we make money without selling anything? And they learned they can make money by getting a group of people to become borrowers. And as all these people become borrowers, we can collect interest off of them. And they will pay us on nothing but money. And to this very day, banks do that today. In fact, one just collapsed out in California on Friday. What was it? Something SVB Bank. It was out in the high-tech place. And they collapsed. They only had just a few dollars out there. What they had was this. They had secured all of the bank's money in government bonds. So much for the government. They had secured all the bank money in government bonds. As inflation rises, interest rates go up. And so when inflation was forced upon us, interest rates goes up. And as interest rates go up, bond prices go down. And when those bond prices went down, all of the bank's assets were in bonds. And they collapsed. I think it was $165 billion that was lost. I mean, just like that in a day's time. They're saying there's three or four more banks about to follow them in this next few days. So it looks like a pretty rough day financially in the next week that is coming. But what happened? What's happened? It's that banking system. It's that part of that that makes things go up and down and those kind of things that they have created to get money from everyone without selling a product, just by giving you money and that kind of thing. And then you paying them back more than you got, and that's where their profit is. They didn't sell you anything. And they created that. And there's a system in the earth that's created to keep you in poverty all your life. And they have a system in America where we have this middle class, and we say, how much can I give you to keep you on the treadmill so that you'll keep walking the treadmill and making me money and won't totally collapse at all? Sometimes you see that happen in the stock market. They'll let that thing go up a little bit. If it's like looking good, looking great, they go up, and then boom, take it down. But not far enough to where you get out. Then they'll take it up a little bit more, and then they'll let it go down. Up and then down. And they're playing this game that they play. There's some people that with big money that are in control of things and what's going on in America and indeed all of the world. And if you play their games, you'll do it their way, and you'll never, 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 never be successful playing their games. But as children of God, we don't have to play their games. Somebody say amen. We don't have to play their games. Okay, so we got to do it the Lord's way. What happened with Peter on the side of that boat? Remember this. Nevertheless, he said to Jesus, at your word, we'll cast out the nets. When he cast out the net, he pulled the net back, and there were so many fish in it that he couldn't get them all in. The nets break, and he had to call other boating partners to come around and help get that catch of fish. Now, let me ask you something. If he had said, nevertheless, Jesus, we love you, but I just can't do it. I know a little bit more about fishing than you, and had took his boat and sailed away, what would he have been sailing away from? He would have been sailing away from fish everywhere. Fish all the side of that boat. Pools of fish just waiting to be caught. How do I know that? Because when he did cast in the boat, the net, he did catch the fish, just like Jesus said. And so that's what happens sometimes we as Christians. God tells us how to do it. He tells us what to do. I don't know, God. I don't think I can. I might know a little bit more than you. You know, God, no offense, but you don't live in 21st century America and this finance system. Maybe I know more than you, that kind of stuff. After all, I have an MBA, Master's of Business Administration. I have all this kind of stuff. I'm degrees in accounting. And, oh, Lord, I just know how the system works. And then you walk away from your big pool of fish that you had because we didn't do it God's way. Doing it God's way works, and it works every time for everybody. There is no discrimination with God. There's no variance in the way the rules and the principles and laws of God work. They always work. Okay, I'll stay there long. I need to. In Joshua, we looked at Joshua 1, verse 8. Notice it says at the end of the book, end of the verse, you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. And the area of finances, you. Everybody say me. Me has to do something. You have to do something. You make your way prosperous. It's not that you sit down and you pray to God, God, make me prosperous, and you wake up in the morning and there's $1 million truckload out there in front of that. No, that's not how it works. You make your way prosperous. You have something to do in this thing. There's something you must do. Okay? Notice I said it. You make your way prosperous. We also saw in 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 12, go right down the first line, riches and honor come of God. Both riches and honor come of thee. Away with this kind of thinking that it's the devil trying to make a Christian rich. I've never seen that before in my life, I don't believe. A devil trying to make a Christian rich? I mean, you know, back when I started the church in October 12th of 1982 on a Tuesday night. Back when we did that, a few weeks after that, a young man that I knew, there's ministry together, he said to me, look, I think it's the wrong thing you're doing. He was denominational. He wanted me to stay there with him in the denomination and that kind of thing. I think it's the wrong thing that you're doing. You shouldn't do it. And you know, you're just going to fall flat. And I said, well, you know, so far the Lord's just blessed and he's doing good things. He's supplied all our needs. And wow, it's just a great blessing out here. It's a good thing. I mean, God has really blessed us. And he looked at me and he said, you know what? Sometimes the devil will bless you. I looked him back. I said, I hadn't seen the first time yet, so I'm looking for one. If you want to bring one by, I hadn't seen the devil do no blessing to me. Not at all. Both riches and honor come of God. Riches and honor come of God. Now, there's other things come of God, too. If you work the wrong way and you go against the things of God, you can fall under the curse like it talks about. I mean, you can do that if you want to. But riches and honor do come of God. So away with this idea that anybody who has wealth or anybody who has riches must be somebody evil. It's not the case. There are people that have riches and wealth who are evil. But there are people who don't have a dime who are also evil, too. I found it don't make a whole lot of difference in how much money you got. I mean, it's just strange. Job 36:11. Here's what Job said. If you obey and serve him, you'll spend your days in prosperity and years in pleasure. So obedience and service to God is required in order to have days of prosperity, years of pleasure. Obedience and service to God. And if you're not willing to obey and serve God, forget about it. Okay, end of story. Close the book right now, it's done. No, obedience and service. They'll spend their days in prosperity. Now, we saw in Psalms 1:1, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. You're blessed when you do not do what the ungodly told you to do. So when the ungodly wants to give you financial advice and tell you how to do things, don't listen to them. Because that's not where the blessing is. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. You got to quit listening to what the ungodly say to you. Now, it's not a financial thing, but I remember this lady years and years ago. She was a psychologist, and she put out these videos, and the videos looked nice, and that 30-minute info commercial that she had called Making Love Work. Making love work for every married couple. Making love work. If you're in your marriage situation and you're facing hard times and difficulties and you're mad and at odds with each other, here's how to make your love relationship work. And it sounded good. A lot of things she said on that sort of sounded good, I guess, on the info commercial that they have, which it always does. And I said, well, let me just check up on who she is. And I checked up on her, and she'd been married 7 times. I said, I don't want to hear from her. She's had her problems. I want to hear somebody who's been married a long time and, you know, really been successful with their marriage. Not that seven times around, I tell you why. It's like that woman that Jesus talked about, or the Pharisees talked about Jesus. You know, what about this woman? Whose husband is she going to be in the resurrection? She's had these husbands, and all 7 of them have died. And I know the story. All 7 of her husbands had died. Whose husband? And that's what the question was. But as soon as I saw that, all 7 of them had died, my mind just flipped back. I wonder who that 7th and 6th and 5th husband was. I wouldn't be that. I mean, you wouldn't get married to me and you had 1 husband and 2 husbands, 3 husbands, 5, all of them died? Somebody's, you know, knocking somebody off, isn't it? But anyway. So be careful. Don't take advice from the ungodly. Make sure you have somebody that's a specialist in what they do, or they have done what they said they can do. They have made it, not fully arrived, but certainly on their journey, that kind of thing. All right, Psalms 34:10. Notice, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Living Bible says we'll never lack. If you'll seek the Lord, put him first, you don't have to live with lack in your life. You do not. But if you don't, you're going to have a hard time. All right, the last one we looked at last time was Psalms 35, verse 27. Notice this. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. God is happy when you do well and when you prosper. When you get one of the big paychecks, God is happy about it. When you create an endeavor or business or something, make a lot of money, God is happy about it. When you get all your bills paid for, God is happy. When you get all your debts paid off, God is happy about that. When you got money in the bank, God is happy about that. God's happy when you are blessed. He's happy. He's joyful. And so you don't need to hide your blessings, you know, let the world know, not in a prideful, boastful, arrogant kind of way, not at all, but let the world know any blessing that you've received of God is because God gave it to you. God's the one that blessed you that way. He's the one that loves you so much and gave you those blessings in life. And he's happy that you can be joyful in the prosperity, it says, of his servant. Now then, look with me, Psalms 37, verse 4. New place, Psalms 37, verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. What is it that you desire? This is not a want. This is not a need. Remember a story I've told you before? I guess it is. I had a Sunday school teacher many years, a good man, a real good man, a faithful Christian. He really was. But he would always say this. God said he'd promise to supply your needs, not your wants. God said he'd promise to supply your needs, not your desires. And you know what would we all say if we didn't know any better? We all say, amen, brother. Oh, Lord. Oh, God forbid I'd ever want anything or desire nothing. Oh, I wouldn't want to have nothing in life. Oh, God. And you know, we all just whined and cried and raised our hands and shouted and all that stuff. And he said, oh, God said this. Yeah, just me. All I want is just enough for me. I'm not that, Lord. And people pray prayers like that. God, I'm not asking for a whole lot. I'm not asking for a whole lot, God, just a little bit. I just need something. I just need this. I understand those prayers. Might have prayed a few of them way back there. But I don't pray that way anymore. I don't pray. No, I ask God for millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. Everybody say millions. Millions of dollars. Not hundreds of thousands or just pay my light bill, this. No, millions of dollars. Lord, I'm believing you for millions and millions and millions of dollars. That's what I'm believing for. Absolutely, absolutely. That's what I'm trusting for. Well, notice, if I'll delight myself in the Lord, he'll give me that desire. Now, if I'm walking around mad at God half the time, I don't know why God, you know, if I'm doing that and upset with God, notice, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. I'm persuaded that a lot of you this morning, if not all of you here this morning, delight yourself in the Lord, or you wouldn't be in church on this round. Right? So you showed some delight by being in the house today. There's plenty of other things you could have done, and certainly on a day like this, you could have stayed home. But you didn't. You are here. You delighted yourself in the Lord. Well, it don't end. It's not going to end today when we get out of church at 4 o'clock. It's not ending today after that. It continues on. We're going to delight ourselves in the Lord all day long. And then not only that, we're going to wake up on Monday morning and delight some more. And Tuesday and delight some more. And Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday. And start it all over again on Sunday again, delighting in the Lord. It just never, ever, ever ends. And what God says, when you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Now, if you have a child, if you have someone that you want to bless, or an employee or someone, if they're just super excited about you, those kind of things in life, you're eager to bless them. You're eager to do good things with them. When I was in seminary for 7 years, at the end of every term paper I ever did, and I did a bunch of them, at the end of every paper that I ever did in seminary, essays and papers and all kind of stuff, at the end of all of them, I always wrote down a little comment on the bottom. And I type it out. And then once I typed it out and give it to him, then I make a little note about it. I want to say to you, Dr. So-and-so, I've enjoyed this class. I've learned so much. It's just been a privilege for me to sit in this class and to hear you teach from your wealth of experience that you've gotten over the years. How many of those always got a good grade? Somebody say amen. When you delight yourself, and I was one of the most grateful, happy people I know to be in that class. I was. But, you know, when you're delighted and you love people and you share, they're eager to do good things for you. And so if you're in love with Jesus, in love with God, you're delighted in him, God, you know, who knows? God, all kinds of things you do. You know, I just think I'm going to give this blessing to you today. I think I'm going to bless you. I know you've been wanting this in your life, and I know you've been desiring that. I just want to see it come to pass for you. And if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Just last week we're sitting at the end of the service, and Naomi comes up to Sheila, and I don't know where she got this word from, but she looked at Sheila as watching. Naomi said, I need one of them. That's all it was. I need one of them. Just about that watch. Well, how many knows? It took me about 2 days, but, you know, I found her a Minnie and Daisy Mouse watch for toddlers that lights and glows, and bought that thing and gave it to her. Now, you know, she don't have to say, I need a watch anymore. She's looking at Sheila's ring and said, I need one of them. I don't know where she got that word need, but anyway. But you're delighted. You're delighted to do that, to give and share with somebody that's delighted in you, somebody that loves you. Anyway, all right. Look here, Proverbs 3, verse 9. Just working our way through the Bible every way it comes. Proverbs 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your substance. Notice this, with the first fruits of all your increase. Everybody say first fruits. Of all of your increase, first fruits of all of your increase. Anytime Sheila and I get a check in the mail, or anytime we get our pay, anytime we get other funds and different things that we receive and any blessings, the first thing we ever do is write down our tithe check. We don't wait and say, am I going to have enough money? That's never been the question at our house. As soon as we get money, and Sheila says this sometimes. I talked to her about it a few months ago. And I said, well, look, Sheila, you did pretty good right there. She said, yeah, that's just more money I can give God now, isn't it? I said, yes, it is. Yes, it is. That's just more money you can give God. And that's our thought. We're going to bless the kingdom of God. And we're going to bless the kingdom of God real good. And we're going to bless him first. Somebody says, well, I can't afford to give to God, because after I get through paying this bill, and that bill, I don't have anything left. So I don't have anything to give after I do that. And I've never, ever had that problem, because I've never given God after. I've always given to God first. And if I give to God first, I always have plenty to take care of the after. I mean, it's a real secret of trusting God is, are you willing to give God first? regardless of anything else, give God first. Notice, honor the Lord with your substance, with the first fruits of all your increase. And then notice the promise I get. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. How many wants plenty? Somebody say amen. Then you know what to do first, don't we? We know what to do first. When I do that first, he gives me that promise that I'm going to have plenty, and my, you know, barns are going to burst out, new wine, filled barns, everything. And so what a great blessing it is to put God first place in our lives. And it's just a wonderful thing. It clears up your conscience. You don't have any problem. And I know I should have given to God, but I didn't. You don't ever have that problem. And you really don't have any problem paying your bills because, you know, there's always more. It's so easy. There's always more that you can pay bills with if you put God first place in your life and give him his portion. And you do that, it's not going to be a problem pay your bills. It is just not. I haven't met anyone. I really haven't. I've been pastoring a long time. I have not met anyone come up and said, you know what, I've been tithing and giving to God now 20 years, and boy, I really regret that. I've never heard anybody make that comment. I'm not one time have I ever heard anybody say something like, I'm so sorry, I've been tithing and giving for the last 25 years. Oh my, what I could. I've never heard that statement. Never. So that's anecdotal, you know, evidence that you hear like that, but I've never heard that. If you put God first in place in your life, then God's going to be looking at the rest of your budget and the less things going on in your life and less of your expenditures, things you have to do, and let's get them things met, let's get those things done. Why? Because he's putting me first. He's putting me first. I'm going to take care of him. Okay, look at Proverbs 10 and 22. The blessing of the Lord, AJ mentioned that, it maketh rich. Notice it. The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. When I'm blessed of the Lord, I'll be made rich. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. And notice, he adds no sorrow with it. No sorrow with the wealth that the Lord puts into your hands. Yeah, you don't have to say, well, I might got some riches, but I cheated so-and-so out of it. And that's how I got it. Wow, boy, I feel bad, but I love my money, but I feel bad, you know, in business or something. You don't have to do that. There ain't going to be no sorrow with it. It's not going to be that the money that God has blessed you with and the wealth and the riches he brought into your hand that you're using it to do evil things with and bad things with, and you feel bad about what you're doing. And there's some folks doing some evil stuff. It is so unreal in our world and this stuff of this trans junk that's going on. Just, and make sure if you live in the city of Lawrence that you do go and vote in the runoff, because I'm hearing some very strange things out there that if this vote goes through, there ain't no telling what we're about to see in Lawrence take place and happen. That they got it in the works and headed this way to go full-blown into this homosexual. It's incredible, incredible. Vote righteous, vote good, vote like you're supposed to in this next week for sure. But there are people now in this trans stuff that for money, will take little children, little boys and little girls, and take them and surgically remove parts of their body, trying to change them in to another sex than what they are, and getting paid to do that. You couldn't pay me that much money. It's unreal, unbelievable. Imagine a little child who you will not even let choose what he is going to eat because he will make the wrong choices. How many knows they all go for the candy? Somebody say amen. And so you got to tell that little child that you're not going to eat this and you're not going to eat that, right? But at the same time, that same little child can have a sexual change physically through operations and change their body for the rest of their life. And what happened? The medical system and all those who are playing part of it, evil is the biggest part. But the medical system and everything are getting paid to do that. You couldn't pay me that. You couldn't pay me that. Thank God there's some people that won't bow to money. Do you know that Walgreens said they will not offer the abortion pill? And they're doing it in 20 of the states that's run by certain governors that will allow them to do that. And they're not going to do it at all. In California, the governor there says, we're going to kick Walgreens Pharmacy out of California. So you pray for Walgreens that they'll stand strong, that they're not going to open that prescription drug for abortion pills, that they're not going to begin dispensing those. They're saying they're not. What they said was, there's some things worth more than money. Some things are worth more than money. And so you do things with money where you don't sorrow after you do it. There's no sorrow with the blessings of God. I mean, if I'm in on a bank heist and I'm in there with five people, we all robbed a bank and I get my 1/5, you know, I'm going to be looking behind me all the days of my life trying to see if the law is going to catch up with me. Plus, the other four guys that helped me rob it, if they rob the bank, they'll probably rob me one day. And so there's a lot of sorrow connected to that, but not when God blesses you. Not when God blesses you. There's no sorrow. The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich. Not the blessing of the devil. The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich. It's okay to be rich. Somebody say amen. Okay. Let it change our mind. Change our thinking. We have to do it. All right, look at Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. One scripture says grandchildren, and that's what it is, children's children. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Not just an inheritance to his children, but inheritance to his children's children. A good man does that. He leaves an inheritance, and notice the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. And so as believers, you and I are expect to be prosperous enough to pay for all of our bills. How many want to see all your bills paid? Somebody say amen. Pay for all our bills. And then, you know, have no debts in our life. Get out of debt. And then also have enough money in the bank. Take care of ourselves to where we don't have issues and problems and those kind of things. Where we can buy those $7 eggs. All that kind of stuff. Have the blessing of the Lord on our life. We've got money. More than what we need. And, of course, we've been giving to God and blessing other people and doing other stuff along the way. But as we get to that place, we have enough money that now we can save up some for our children. We give them enough money to bless them, but we don't give them enough to spoil them. And then we let them work and make their own way, and so they can learn how to do this thing too. But there comes a day when they get the inheritance, and the inheritance not only goes to your children, but to your grandchildren. And to do that, you're going to have to mass up some wealth. You're going to have to mess up some riches in your life. And you can do it. It's not a problem to do that if you do it God's way. But that's what God says. A good man will leave an inheritance to his children's children. And so it's not like Sheila and I are in our young age here and we just want to spend every single thing that we get and just blow it just because we got it and you can do it. No, we have our needs met and we do everything we want to do. But we've got our needs met, do everything we want to do, but we've got all this extra and all this abundance that God's given us, and that, and we're looking now at amassing that to give to our children and to bless them and to have enough even to bless our grandchildren to go second generation down. And that's fun too. It's fun to do that. Not just blowing it, spend it all the time, but have money that tons and bukus of money are just going to come into the hands of your children and your children's children at the point that you leave this world, when your inheritance, when they get the inheritance. And that's part of a goal to set. I know sometimes we might be at that place to where, Pastor, I'm just trying to get my light bill paid. I understand that. Been there before. Know what that's talking about, okay? But there is a place that you can set your goals to and set your standards to that you're going to be there. And you're going to be able to bless not just your children, but your children's children. That's a pretty good inheritance to go that way. And God says that's what a good man does. Now notice the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. But while you're, or before you get your wealth, the sinner is watching over it for you. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. In the book of Exodus 23 and 30, God told the children of Israel when they came out of Egyptian bondage, you're going to go into the land, the Palestine. The promised land, you're going there, and right now, a lot of other people live there, and they're possessing the land. They're not the children of Israel. They're wicked, they're heathen, but they're still there, and God says this, I'm not going to drive them all out at one time. I'm going to drive them out little by little, because if I drive them out all at the same time, then the beast will take over the earth, and the forest and the woods and the plant life will come up, and there'll be decay in farm products, but weeds and everything else will come up, and you'll have a terrible land. So I'm letting the wicked sit on it while you're taking it one city at a time, and they'll be keeping it up for you. When you see this, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. That's what you can think of. They've got this money, and it's going to be mine, and I'm going to transfer it to me. Now, some people think that what that is, oh, God, in Jesus' name, transfer the wealth of the wicked to me. And go to the post office every day looking for a check from the wealth of the wicked to be transferred to you. Not how it works. You play according to the rules that God has set down for you, and as you do that, then it will happen for you. Much like when the wicked sued me several years ago for 9 acres of property behind me that I didn't own. They wanted access to it. I said, no, you're not getting it unless you pay me to get through my land to get there. I said, we ain't paying you. I said, well, you're not going to get an access. And they sued me. And so I went to that court case, and I represented myself. And in fact, just a few months later, I ended up owning the property that they sued me to get to, which was theirs in the first place, and it wasn't mine. I ended up owning it. What happened? The wealth of the wicked, that 9 acres, got transferred to me. And that's how it happened. But it happened because I honored God, put him first, and was not afraid and was bold and stood strong on the things of God and expected God to bring deliverance. And so the wealth of the wicked can move to you. It does. It does, just like God says. But you're going to have to obey God and obey his word and do the things that he tells you to do. If you think it's all just going to be over here while you say, oh, God, just move the wealth of the wicked to me. It's not going to happen that way. If you think you're going to be blessed and all these kind of things and you're not going to do anything at all, not anything, that is just not how it works. And we'll see it as we go along continually as we do. Look at Proverbs 21, verse 5. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. In other words, diligent is, means a hard worker. That's what diligence means. And his thoughts is, or his plans of the diligent, the hard worker, it will tend to plenteousness. So if you're not going to be diligent, if you're not going to lift a finger, if you're not going to move a hand, if you're not going to walk a step, if you're not going to be diligent and sometimes do it more than others, if you're not going to do that, you won't see here where it says, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but everyone that is hasty only to want. People, it's amazing that people are looking for these get-rich-quick schemes. The thoughts of haste in here, only to want. The thoughts of the diligent, plentiness. So if I get out there and I exercise myself in the things of God and perform my job at my ultimate best level, and I'll do that I can, then I'm going to have plenty. Everybody say plenty. Going to have plenty. But everyone that is hasty, only to want. If you're looking to win the lottery, you know, next year, I mean, you got more of a chance to go to the moon. And we hadn't even been in the last 50 years. If we went that time, we probably did. But anyway, we haven't even been in 50 years to the moon. And you know what? You just had a better chance of becoming an astronaut and going to the moon than you do winning that big lottery that day. You really do. You really do. If that's your goal, why? Because it happened quick and fast and easy. I want something simple, quick, fast, easy. Simple, quick, fast, and easy. Simple, quick, fast, and easy. Simple, quick, fast, and easy. What the world? That is not how it works. Notice, everyone is hasty only to want. You get out there and you move real quick. Oh, somebody came by with the greatest of deals. If I could tell you how many times I've been on a car lot and talked to people about a car, and they say, look, you know, this is a deal right now. I can't tell you what it'll be tomorrow. And you need to do this deal today. I usually say this, well, you know, you've got your price, and so that's okay. I understand. You can't do it, so I'll see you later. Well, wait a minute, Ms. Bible, don't go right yet. Well, no. You said they got to do it today. I'm just not really inclined to do it right today. My chain of mind, not really inclined to do that kind of thing. And then one place, I pulled right across the street from Big O Dodge in Greenville. I pulled across the street to the other dealership, called the people at Big O Dodge. I said to them, hey, this is Leon. Remember, I just talked to you. I said, yeah. I said, I'm over here at this dealership. I told him where it was. I'm about to buy this car. You want to come down that amount of money I talked to you about coming down? They said, yes, sir, we will. Come on back. And I went back. And so, you know what? The world wants you to work on their terms, but you don't have to. You don't have to work on their terms. You don't have to take what they say. I mean, all these kind of things that they out there, they've got their system all devised and planned how you and I are going to walk in and be pulled just like puppets by the string and do what they want us to do. But no. Don't do that. And don't try to do it quickly. Don't try to do it hastily. Wait on it. Think about it. If you wait on it, think about it a little bit, you might not even do it at all. That's even a bigger statement. Benjamin Franklin wrote a book called The Way of Wealth. And one of the things he talks about in there is not jumping the gun on anything. Wait a little bit. And you usually find out if you wait a little bit, you might not even do it at all. Or if you do, you might do something a little different that would make you a little bit more money or save you some money. I mean, it's a great book written well over, several hundred years ago. Benjamin Franklin wrote it. And so, you know, don't get hasty. Don't go that way. In fact, right now might be a good point. Have I got my overhead up there that I can put on somebody up there? Oh, there we are. That's one of them. Okay. I thought I had another, but that's fine. That's fine. Here's the thing. that will not get you wealthy fast. You won't get wealthy tomorrow. But if you do it, and if you stick to it, you will become wealthy. I thought in 2008, when I was going to get out of debt and made a situation, I'll never borrow another dollar the rest of my life, I thought that this was a plan that would get me out of debt only. I didn't know that it not only would it get you out of debt, but it would also make you rich. I didn't know. I thought it was just a get out of debt thing. I just wanted out of the pressure of being under debts, and I'd made a decision not to borrow another dime the rest of my life, and how am I going to do that? And I hooked up with Dave Ramsey and our very own, Walter Yates, that grew up here in our church, works for Dave now in Nashville, Tennessee, and working out there with him and just having the time of his life. Thank God for it. Married Miss Kimberly, Wayne and Margaret's daughter, and that may be where they're at today there. And so the blessing of the Lord there with the company he works for, this is the way that Dave Ramsey says for you to get out of debt is what I thought. But it's also the way to go all the way to the bottom, build wealth. No matter where you are at what level you are in, whether you have tons of bills and tons of debt, this is your plan. Or if you have, like a number of folks here this morning, if you have several $1 million, if you have things like that, this is also your plan. It works for you as well. It's a sound, solid plan. And there are seven steps that Dave gave us. And he said this, when you talk about not getting hasty, but being slow and intentional. One, what should you do? Save $1,000 and put it in your emergency fund. $1,000. Not a lot of money. You say that can't meet a lot of emergencies, but it gets you started, and that's what it's there for. You're still working, still got an income. You put $1,000 in your emergency fund. You set it there. You don't touch it for going out to eat. You don't touch it for buying clothes, going to the mall. You don't touch it unless it's an emergency. That means maybe the car you were driving to get you to work broke down, and you got to get that thing fixed. And so, now that's an emergency because you're going to lose your income if you don't get back to work. And so that $1,000 emergency fund, first thing. Second thing is that after that, pay off all debts except your house. Dave makes the allowance for the house in America. It's so expensive, and it's also an asset which built in value over the years. And so massive, then don't include your house, but pay off every other debt. Pay off your credit cards. Pay off the Visa. Pay off the MasterCard. Pay off the Discover. Pay off the finance company. Pay off, whatever it might would be, the company store years ago, we used to say. Pay it all off. Any debts you got, pay it off. You owe money, taxes, pay it off. You got a student loan, pay it off. Pay off all of your debt, every single. Because what happens, as long as you have an automobile, pay it off. Get rid of it. So if you can't pay a car off in 24 years, sell it. If you can't pay it off in 24 months. It sounds right from the prices of cars, but if you can't pay it off in 24 months, he says, sell the thing. Sell the thing. Get out of it. Get out of it quick. Because what you want to do is get out of debt quick. Not a long time, quick. And then paying off the debts, what do? You list the smallest to the largest, and you pay off the smallest first, and then you go to your second debt. Then you go to your third. Then you go to your fourth. And use the snowball thing. If you're paying a total, and some people are. If you're paying a total of $1,500 or $2,000 a month on debt, you got a $700 car payment, you got $400 a year, $500 there, and you add it all up, you pay the smallest one off first, the amount-wise. Doesn't matter the interest rate. Doesn't matter which interest rate it is. Pay the smallest amount off first, and then that same money you were paying on the small one, don't put it in your pocket. Put it on the rest of your debts because you're paying off all of your debt, paying off all of your bills. That's what you're doing. And when you finally get that done, step two, then you go back to your emergency fund and save 3 to 6 months of expenses for emergencies. That's not income, that's expenses. What would it take for you to live if you lost your job tomorrow? You say, well, I guess we probably need, I don't know, just expenses to eat and keep the lights on around the house. Maybe we need $1,500 a month. Maybe we need $2,000 a month. So if you had 3 months, 2,000 times three, then you need $6,000 in your emergency fund. And if you did that, then at that point, you got all your bills paid for, got your emergency fund established, and somebody tells you where you work at that you're going to get laid off tomorrow, it's not like you go crazy. Because you know you can live for 3 to 6 months. Because you got your emergency fund set up. If something happens, if the roof caves in with all the rain, whatever going on, and somehow the insurance company doesn't pay, that kind of, it's not that big a deal now. You got your emergency fund. You can patch that roof. And so it's very, because if you don't, what will happen, you'll go back in debt. If you don't, then you'll go back into debt. And that's what you got to stay away from. You got to get rid of it, because if you become a millionaire, you got to get rid of debts first. Got to get rid of them. Headed that way. Then the next thing Dave tells us to do is start investing 15% of your income in retirement. 15%. If you have a 401k, think about this. If you have a 401k where you work and they match what you put in it, they match that. Can you imagine what you make the day that you put your money in that 401k? And you take $100 and put it in a 401k, and they give you another $100. You made $100. You made 100% the day you put it in there. If you have a 401k where you work at, you need to be investing that thing up to the match, up to what they're matching. Absolutely. Anything else that might be 15% income, you can do on your own, individually, IRA, other things. But you definitely want to get all that match, because you're losing that money if you don't. And you need to get all the match. But you don't need to match or have a 401k or anything to get all your debt paid off. You got to get your debt paid off first. Because some of us, we don't think it through sometimes. What we're thinking about is, how much are we worth as a family? How much money do we have or don't have? And somebody say, well, I got, you know, this, I have this house. Well, what do you owe on it? Well, owe this on it. Well, the house that you thought that you had that was $300,000, you owe $2 on it, so you only have $100,000. But do you have any debts? Well, yeah, I got student loan for $50,000. Well, that $100,000 you think you got, you don't have. It's only $50,000. No, I got it. No, you don't. You look at the bottom line. You look at the bottom line of where you're at. And so you cut off everything to get rid of those debts, and then you go back to building that emergency fund back up. And then you can start investing 15% into your retirement. There's another law. We're going to get to it. We're not getting to it today. There's another law in Scripture that talks about, he that hath, he will have more, and he will have abundance. The most powerful thing, the second most powerful one in my life, I guess, after Proverbs 23, talking about lender and debt. Second most powerful is that Jesus said, he that hath shall more be given. When I learned I had to be a hather, right there it is, step four. When you start investing and putting money, and you keep some of your money, you don't spend it all. You don't get rid of it. You keep it. When you do that, there's a miracle thing that happens. You start getting rich, and you start getting abundance in your life. When you start holding something you have, God starts blessing what you've got. And when you hold on to it and you invest it in your own self, in your own life, you pay yourself first, as we talk about. You do automatic investing, as we talk about. All these kind of things. You invest 15% in retirement, you'll find that you get more and more and more and more and more. It will come to you in abundance. When Sheila and I first started investing, I told you before, it was like a $10 IRA certificate. We bought 1 month. That was a long time ago. In the 70s, $10? You said, that's all you could do in a month. Yeah. We finally upped it. It was a glorious day. We upped it one day down to 25. I went in that bank. They said, you want your $10? And I got a little certificate for everyone. It was an IRA certificate that I got, South Carolina National Bank. I went in. They said, you want your $10 certificate in this month? No. I'm in the money. Make it 25. But the more you do, and it goes up and up and up and up and up, and he talks about 15%. We invest about 55%. 55% of every dollar we get, we invest nowadays. But we didn't start out that way. We started out way lower than that, But if you will, then abundance will come into your life. If you've got children, save for their college. Save for your college. One of the proudest days of our life, which we did this for our daughter, it took us some time after that because we went in debt all during her college. But in ages, we didn't. We said, we wouldn't do it. We wouldn't go in debt for his. One of the proudest days of our life is when he walked off of that stage and he got his diploma and he walked off. And I thought, I don't know how much he realized it, and I think he probably does. But he's one of the few people walking off that stage, and he don't owe a dime. He don't owe a dime, or almost $200,000 worth of college. He don't owe a dime on it. He don't have to walk off saying, how am I going to pay this bill? How am I going to pay that? Now, I got to go to work real quick because I got to start paying for my loan. But my, what a great opportunity that was for us to save for college. Well, but you don't have a child, you don't have to do that. And then six, pay off your house. Get that house paid off. Get that house paid off. You don't need to have that payments in your life for the rest of your life. And then finally, number seven, Dave said, build wealth and give. Now, he talks about giving at the very first thing as far as your tithe and giving. He's talking about give big-time money now. Big, build wealth and give. I mean, it's fun to write large checks and write thousands-of-dollar checks and give them away to people that are in need. It's fun to do stuff like that. But you don't get to do it until you got your other things taken care of in your life. And if you don't get that done, then you're not be able to do those kind of things. And so then you're able to do that, to build wealth in your life and give. You get to that place where you can do anything you want to do in life, go anywhere you want to go, stay as long as you want to stay. Money is not your option any longer. You're not letting money tell you what you can do with your life. You're getting rid of all that. Imagine this. Let me ask you a question. Imagine this. I'm going to let you go. What if you had, and some of us do, we do, what if you had a house payment? And have you seen house payments today? Wow. They are way up there. What if you had a house payment, and I used to say, $500 house payment. I don't think you're going to be in a house today for $500. No, I tell you what, $1,000 house payment, $1,500 house payment, $1,700, $1,800, $2,000 house payment. It is unreal what they're costing. So you're paying that every month. And then what if you had a car payment? And my, the average car, new car in America, the average now is $48,000. Average new car price is that. Average term is 6 years. And when you pay for that car, that $48,000 car, you're probably going to pay about $56,000 for it over that length of time. In 6 years, and that 6 years is going to be decreased in value, probably about, I don't know, about 60-70% gone at that time. So it's the largest investment we make that doesn't go up in value. It goes straight down like a rock, like Chevrolet used to talk. And so that kind of stuff happening. But imagine if you had that car payment. Imagine if you had that house payment. Imagine if you had that Visa card payment. Imagine if you had all that. My, you could too. You might have $1,000, $1,500, $2,000, $3,000 a month you can invest in. If you had your bills gone, if you had your debts gone. Everything you owed, if that was gone. That's why it's important to get rid of your debt so that you'll have your money that you can invest in yourself and your family, and then God can add increase to it and can open up the windows of heaven to you and pour this blessing out you won't be able to receive. This is the other side to the coin, because I heard for a long time in my particular friends and people I listen to bless me so much, we always just talked about the giving part. We didn't really talk about how that would bless you. We didn't talk about what you do. And how that bless you. Dave has brought the other side of that into this thing. That other side that we work it, if we do it, it will make us blessed and make us financially independent. Imagine this. Listen, real careful. Here's one little thing. Did you know that, let's say you went out and bought an average new car price, a $48,000 car, and you bought that car and you pay for it the next 6 years. What if you didn't? But what if you took the average new car payment, $773? That's a bunch of money. $773 the average new car payment in America. What if you took that same money instead of buying that car and invested in you for those same 6 years at what the stock market has averaged over the last 40 years, 10%? And what if you did that? You'd come away with $76,000 in that same period of time that you took you to buy the car. Not a lot of money, but it's a good bit more than $48,000. So you made about $28,000. In that 6 year profit that you made. Now you got $76,000 in 6 years. But let's just say you said, okay, what I'm going to do is this. I'm always going to pay cash for my cars. I'm never going to buy another car that I ever had to borrow money on. And you take that same car payment and you just invest it for 30 years. That's not long, because right now the retirement age is, what, 67, 68 for people, 69, more getting up there. And so you just invest it from the time you're about 30 years of age to you're 60. 30 years, you invested that new car payment, 30 years. Do you know how much an average new car payment is going to make you if you invest it for 30 years, just 30 years, over the long haul? $1.6 million is what you'll have. When I saw that, I said, why? I don't think I can afford a new car. I tell you, that's a bunch of, which Dave says I can now. But then, no, I want to be at that point rather than to have that car. And so we did, saved up to buy our car. We saved up to buy a car right after AJ started college, 2008. We had nothing, and we saved up in about a year's worth of time and bought a car and paid cash for it, or rebought our car and paid cash for that. A little bit later on, we bought another car that cost us more money for it, and I don't remember what it was, $23,000, $24,000, whatever, and paid cash for that too. But because we do that, then we don't have payments. And when you don't have payments, you can invest that money, and that money will make you wealthy. And that's what this is all about. Well, anyway, maybe, you don't see it like I didn't for many years, didn't see it, didn't understand it. But this is the thing that happened. If we will honor God, put Him first in our life, do things the way God has told us to do it, God will bring wealth into our lives. How many knows that God wants us blessed? Somebody say amen. How many knows that? Say amen. He does. He does. And if we'll do it God's way, He'll bring blessings our way. Anyway, get you, I think I might have had a handout for you. It'll probably be next week when I've got it for you. But anyway, you can go online. You can see that all you want to, and maybe that'll work for you. Let's stand up this morning and go before the Lord in prayer. ask God's blessings on us, believing to be here, put a little mark right there, and we'll see what God has for us next time when we come together in Jesus' name. Father God, we come to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the day you've given us. Lord God, we are so happy in you. We're grateful, Lord God, for the joy that you bring to our lives through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful that you provide for all of our needs, whether it be physical, whether it be financial, whether it be emotional, whether it be mental. Lord God, you are on our side for good, and we give you all praise and all glory. Lift your hands toward heaven, pray this prayer, and say, Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for everything you have provided for me. Say this, say, I receive it. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Good to see you in the house today.
Thank you for listening to this faith-filled message. Please connect with us at our website, gospeltabernaclechurch.com, so we can continue to be a part of your faith walk. And if you're listening today and you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, now is the time to do that. Now, today is the day of salvation. Pray this prayer with me. Dear Father, I believe you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins on the cross. And you have raised him from the dead that I might be alive in him. Jesus, I confess you are Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome. You're now in the family of God. You're a child of God. Connect with us. Let us know if you prayed that prayer. We want to be right there alongside you as you walk out this journey of faith in Christ. God bless you.